This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is 306 on DGS. As I mentioned earlier,
I will use Dave's full name and not just the letter. Dave is had to take off a little early. Not feeling good. He's got some stomach things going on. And as we joke about we've joked about a couple times already, like there's so many things you can push through. Stomach things are not really good things or easy things to push through on the radio. So Dave's going to do a little recovery, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be okay for tomorrow, but you know, hopefully it's not more than that, because stomach things are bad enough like
for 24
by themselves.
Hours, yeah.
Yeah, they're bad enough short term. We don't want those things to end up being longer term. So that's why you're not hearing Dave. But the rest of us are here doing our normal thing. And obviously had a chance to catch up with Colonel Jeff McCausland earlier. He kind of gave us the lay of the land as to what's going on with the attack on Israel that happened overnight there this morning, our time here in the States. So we got the political / military look at this, but we also want to make sure that we're presenting a human side of this too. And that's why earlier today we reached out to Rabbi Shmuel Greenwald, you know, from The Priest and the Rabbi, regular here for so many years on DGS. And we want to kind of explore that side. So Rabbi, thank you for doing this. I feel like every time we bring up these things that are going on, we talk about the difficulty. I can't imagine what your family members, what your friends who live in Israel go through on a regular basis, because we think about it when these big things happen, but this seems to be just kind of life over there, huh?
Yes. You know, one of the things I want to tell you in a minute what my kids experienced today. I have four of my children living there. But one of the things that people don't realize, I think a lot of Americans may not be aware of, for the last year, 100,000 Israelis living in the north have not been able to live in their homes.
Wow.
So, you know, when Israel is attacking Lebanon and people in the world are saying, you know, why are you causing this escalation? I just want to ask people, if the south of America, if there was missiles coming in from either near the Canadian border or the Mexican border, and 100,000, now 100,000 is a much bigger percentage of Israeli citizens than is American citizens. But imagine 100,000 American citizens had to flee and were not able to live in their homes because there was constant missile fire into the United States. How long would we allow for that to happen before that we stopped it?
Right.
And would it be called an escalation on our part in doing so? And would there be calls for ceasefires, you know, to like, let's think about it for a while. You know, if we have a 21-day ceasefire, that's another 21 days that these people can't live in their homes. And so, you know, I think people need to understand what's going on here. You know, my kids today, I spoke to them, you know, I was kind of anxious to get in touch with them,
yeah,
as you can imagine. And it took a little time. But so they told me, the three of them are living in proximity to each other. And they all told me that all the sirens went off. One of my daughters was not with her husband. She was in a store. So she went into the bomb shelter in the store. And her husband went with their kids into the bomb shelter in their apartment. But there was a lot of sirens. I think sirens went on throughout the entire country because Israel is not a very large country.
Right.
And and then there was a lot of booms. Apparently, the booms are Iron Dome and defense weapons being fired and then colliding
right
with missiles. But they also described what looked like a lot of fireworks, you know, just explosions in the sky, you know. And they all have little kids there. You know, they have eight little kids between them. And so it's a very rough situation. And you know, I just also want to point out that, you know, why does Iran have a beef with Israel? It's because they want them to exist. It's not that they want a Palestinian state or anything like that. They state square, and all of the groups that are working under them, Hamas, Hezbollah, they don't want a state. They want the destruction of Israel. And so, yes, personally, my best friend lives there. A lot of people, you know, and my wife and I are scheduled to go there in about 10 days now. And I hope the airport will be open.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a wild day there. And I just think people need to, you know, to think about that. How much would we put up if that happened to us in America? If a country fired 200 ballistic missiles at us, would we sit quietly for that?
Well, I think we know the answer. It's been a while ago, but we saw what happened on 9/11, and we saw what our response was. And our response was
9/11.
Was magnitudes greater than the attack. But obviously, we were good with that. I was good with that.
I think the response needs to be to make sure that you don't ever want to do this again.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to grasp, Rabbi. It's hard for, I know for you, you probably grasp it better than most Americans because you've spent so much time there and you have constant contact with friends and your children and your grandchildren there.
Yes.
Most Americans don't. I don't. I don't have constant contact,
right.
And it makes
right.
it harder to understand it, I guess, because you can conceptually get it, but there's a difference between a concept and a reality.
Yes. The world, and also, you know, just running into bomb shelters.
Right.
You know, with your kids.
Right.
You know, what the world, I think it's, and like you said, look, I don't blame people. You know, I don't blame people for not really, like, understanding it on that level because nobody can understand that when you don't really experience it. But I think people should understand there's not a country in the world that would be asked to live with the things that Israel is continually asked to live with and not respond to. And so, you know, I just hope that Israel will defend its people and, you know, because that's what has to be done. And, you know, it is hard. There's been a tremendous toll on the Israeli mindset, psychologically, on children.
Mm.
You know, it's difficult. You know, if you look in the north, 100,000 people displaced. So, you know, you're not in your normal schools. Some people can't work. You know, it takes a tremendous toll. And so I think people have to understand the Israeli response in that context.
Absolutely.
You know, I saw that people, you know, there was discussion. I know you had a colonel on, I heard, which means that you had an expert in this field on. But, you know, I heard people, you know, comparing like the bin Laden thing with taking out Nasrallah, and people were saying how President Obama purposely didn't, you know, did it in a way that would spare civilian life. But I mean, the situation is totally different. I mean, Nasrallah is in the middle of an industrialized city, hiding underneath apartment buildings, with his whole. And you know, Israel is still a threat from this person. I mean, it's not like, you know, when we got Osama bin Laden, which thank God we did. I don't think at that point he was really a threat to the United States at that point anymore. But, you know, what's going on with Nasrallah? So, you know, I think we need to understand what the Israelis have been living through. You know, we got to remember the Israelis have offered several peace deals to the Palestinians. You know, in every country that has approached Israel to make peace, without exception, Israel has made peace with. And so, look, all we can do is hope that they'll somehow or another they'll come to peaceful times ahead.
I don't
see exactly how that's going to happen in the very near future, but you know that's what we got to hope for.
Yeah, we talked about it at the beginning of the show that this has been going on for all of our lifetimes in one form or another. You know, at sometimes it's like now it's hot and there's a lot of things going on.
Right.
Other times it's a little bit more calm, but never peaceful, right? Never under control completely. And,
no.
You know, it's been this way for our lifetimes and certainly before that. And it's very difficult
right.
to see without some, unknowable change at this point, how that's
right.
going to be reined in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the thing is, a lot of the Arab countries have made peace with Israel.
Yeah.
A lot of them see that, you know, Israel has tried to, you know, I think the Saudi Arabians really would like to make you know, I think that's one of the reasons Hamas had talked was to scuttle the peace with Saudi Arabia. But, you know, I think if the world would stop pressuring Israel and if the world would pressure the Palestinians to accept a peace deal, maybe that would help. But, you know, because the Israelis have offered them a few peace deals and they have not been willing to accept it. So, but anyway, we just got to keep praying for peace and do what we can. And I appreciate that you guys are supportive and trying to understand the situation.
Yeah, it's
you know because
It's, you know, it's hard. It is hard to understand, which is why we want to talk to you, because we obviously know you well and we know that you have so much family there, and we're trying, you know, not experiencing something is a different way of understanding. And as you point out, you know, when you see things, regardless of what they are, you know, we have our own things here in the U.S. And if you're not living here, right, you're not going to fully understand the experience of what goes on here.
Right.
We really appreciate you doing this. It's a difficult day. I know you've probably been on the phone most of the day and tracking events and tracking family members, but we always appreciate that you have time for us.
Yes, I appreciate it, because I really want to get out to people an understanding of what's going on there, that so people should understand it. I think Americans, you know, we have to realize we're on the same side of this. Both the United States, we in the United States, and the Israelis have been on the end of terror. You know, we've seen terror in our own country. It was horrible what we saw here, and the Israelis experience it ongoing. And we have to realize that this is something that we have to work on and stand shoulder to shoulder together in order to stop it. There's a difference between, you know, you unfortunately have to be at some kind of battle and attack military targets, but we're talking about people that purposely target, you know, civilian populations. And so we have to stand shoulder to shoulder to put an end to this. So I appreciate it. I appreciate the time to be able to explain this to people, because I know it's far away and it might seem like that doesn't affect me, but as we've seen, it does affect us in the United States. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, the Israelis just eliminated two terrorists in Lebanon, mm-hmm, that the United States had a bounty on. One of the terrorists that the Israelis eliminated was involved when those 200 some Marines were killed in the 80s.
Right.
He was involved in that, and we in America had a $7 million bounty to get him, and the Israelis did eliminate him. And then another person had a $5 million bounty, because he was involved with the terror attacks on American citizens, was also eliminated by the Israelis last week. So we got to realize that we're in this together.
We will be thinking about you and your family, Rabbi. Thank you so much. We'll
thank
talk
you,
soon.
Yes, thank you. Speak to you soon. Be well, everybody.
All right, 324 on DGS. Let us get to Razor's Edge.
All right.
I have a request for that.
What's up?
That we do Razor's Edge.
Let's do it. All right, so kind of a weird one today, but I've been thinking a lot about the phrase, like, happily ever after. Like,
uh-huh.
For me, especially when I was a little girl, I watched a lot of like Disney movies, and the whole thing is like, and they lived and the prince saved her, and then everything was great forever until the sequel. Then there might be another small problem to work out, but then everything was great forever again. And there's no such thing as happily ever after. That is a fallacy. You always have to keep working. Even if you reach your goal, it's not like it's like, and okay, I'm done forever. Everything's good now. Like, there's always something else you have to work on and try to stay on course. So why does Hollywood convince us otherwise, and why do we all buy it?
Oh man, that's such a great question. So the first part is, we all love the idea of that, so we probably love those stories.
Right.
Because we love the idea that it could be like, yay!
Yeah, and now I can relax, and I never have to worry about it ever again.
Yay, everything's good. But, you know, it's such a good point, Rach, that everything that matters takes work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, like, you could win the lotto. You could win $100 million. Well, you may not have financial concerns now for the rest of your life. You may not need to work anymore. But you still have humans in your life, and you've got to work to maintain relationships, and you still have to manage that money and make sure you're not going to go broke and maybe do some good things with it. So, yeah, you're right. It's funny. This is, as a sports guy, this is such a sports thing. Like, the best people in sports are the ones that never think they make it. They always are saying, what can I do more? What can I do more? I'm not there. I'm not finished. I'm not done. What can I learn more? It's such a good point.
Well, and the big thing, especially with these like Disney movies, a lot of times the princesses get married at the end. Mm. And it's like, they're married and now it's done. And it's like, wait, I'm pretty sure in real life, like, once marriage begins, that's a whole other set of issues. And not like, I'm not trying to sound negative about it.
But it's like, it's just life.
Yeah, it's hard work.
You're locked
you
in forever.
Right. Like, you have to keep working. If you just coast, like, that's going to go poorly for you. So I just don't understand why we're sold this bill of goods from a young age.
I
I think the easy answer, though, right, is because, like, movies end, but life does not, right? And if it just ended, like, you know, if it was just, like, 2 hours of the princess's life and then the movie is just, like, over, everybody would be like, well, what is that? What did I just watch?
So they have to lie to us at the end and say
pretty much
lived happily ever after.
Yeah, I just watched this princess goof off for 2 hours, and yeah, then now it's just over, and the credits rolled. Like, it would feel very unsatisfying to, like, watch that. Just like how,
so we want to be lied to, basically.
I think. Yeah. So. Well, look at. I mean, just look at all the big action movies. The good guys always win.
Mm-hmm.
In real life, the good guys usually get their asses kicked because the bad guys don't play by the rules.
You know what's funny is a lot of times I get anxiety watching action movies because I don't want the hero to die. And then I'm like, it's the hero. They're not, they're going to stick around till the end of the movie. And I can relax right now.
And if they die at the end, it's always like a heroic way. Like, they saved the world.
They're a martyr or something.
It's a different version of the Disney princess thing, the happily ever after, but we do not like sad endings.
No, we don't.
Man.
Okay, speaking of movies, let me do one more thing real quick because we only have a minute left here. But Wheels, I know you love The Sopranos too. Did you watch The Many Saints of Newark?
Yes.
How did you feel about that movie? Like, no spoilers. It was so... Look, I enjoyed myself while I was watching it, but there's such a thing as too much fan service and too much, like, remember when this happened in the show? Well, it's happening now. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. It was so over the top, and I feel like Star Wars is becoming like that now, and all the Marvel movies, it's like, hey, guys, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and I'm so over it.
I'm much more into telling slightly different stories from the same universe.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, here's what happened when Tony was a kid. Because the problem was all of the actors were just doing, like, impersonations of the characters.
It felt
and they were bad.
Goofy. Yeah.
It wasn't like Craig Gass doing them and they're, like, on the money and they sound right. They sounded bad. They looked bad and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, 3:34 on DGS. Dave Murray is with us.
Hello there.
Travel, you say, well, we're doing pretty well. I don't know if we let you know yet, but Dave had some stomach issues, so we sent him home. He was trying to tough it out, and we were like,
that's good, though.
Yeah, don't tough out stomach things, man.
No.
The results could be bad.
Especially with all that equipment in front of you.
Right.
Yeah. So Dave's just doing a little recovery, but we're glad we get to talk to you. I was not avoiding you last week, Dave. I promise you.
I know that. I know. You were being cautious.
I was. And I hope that, like, that's kind of a new common thing, even if it's not COVID, right? I think for generations, we were like, I'll just give it to everybody at work and it'll go around. Like, I would like that if we don't do that.
Yeah. You probably didn't hear I adopted Rachel as my daughter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was exciting.
you can call him dad now?
That's fun. No.
Dad just, Murray?
Don't make it weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
That's a good point. It's not as weird as what I said earlier, but it's still weird.
That's exactly what he would normally
Dave, how was the trip home? And I'm glad to hear that the Evolution Festival went so well
Evolution
for you guys.
Evolution went really well. You know, it was certainly muddy in spots, but the overall field was in pretty good shape. It was really muddy getting in, man behind the stage. Oh, what a pit. But everything got on, and it was the first time I've seen the Killers in concert, my brother's favorite band, and they were incredible.
Did they kill
just
it?
Just incredible. They killed it. 90 minutes nonstop rock and roll.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, they're pretty great. Yeah,
was Don Murray in attendance?
No, I wanted him to come out, but he said, it's really weird. I mean, he's been retired for almost 10 years. He said, you know, if it was a Saturday night, I'd come out, but you know, it's Sunday night. I'm going, what are you talking about?
The days mean nothing.
You have all of the days. They're all weekends.
Doesn't matter if you stay up late on a Sunday
night. That is so funny.
Dave, is that the reality? like all the days are weekends. Because I try to get my dad to admit that, but my dad still like he still does like work on the side and things along those lines. He doesn't like to sit around. Yeah.
So yeah, but there are days it's like, what day is it? But when I was working, there were mornings I woke up like that. What day is it? And it was always the terrible feeling it was, oh, it's Friday. That's great. And then it'd be, oh, no, it's Thursday.
I know that I'm sure that you had the days, too, where you wake up on a day off and you're like, oh, shoot, I got to get moving. And then you're like, oh, nice.
Finally. Yes, yes. But as far as travel, we were it was not the most pleasant of flying. We were delayed a couple of hours in Dallas, and we were delayed a couple of hours in Dallas again coming home.
Yuck.
Yuck. No, thank you, American.
Yeah, do not like. We were traveling last week coming back, and the flight got delayed, I think, a half an hour at the beginning, but nothing worse than that. I don't know that I've had smoother travel than that last trip we just made.
Nice.
That's good.
That's kind of nice.
You know, I just kind of walked away from it. You know, just flying is no fun at all anymore.
No, it's not.
That's okay.
All right, so today, Dave, basically perfect.
Yes.
Like, you could not have designed a day better than today.
A little windy.
Opinion.
Yes, there are folks who don't like the wind. Oh,
okay.
A little windy. That wind will diminish quickly. We had a dry, cool front come through. Tomorrow is going to be your spectacular day.
Is it?
74 for the high, lots of sunshine, light winds, low humidity. Then southerly flow starts to return Thursday afternoon, but it is nothing weird. 82 Thursday afternoon, lots of sunshine. Friday, sunny 82. Saturday, sunny 82.
Wow.
And Sunday, sunny and 82. We have two cold fronts on the way. One will come through Friday afternoon. It will have very little effect on our weather. It's a dry front. Another dry front coming through probably Sunday night. That will set us up for temperatures in the low to mid 70s again come Monday. But it's a very dry weather pattern, just not much going on.
I feel like we ask you these kinds of questions every time, and I'm sure you get them at all your parties.
But yeah.
Is this?
I go to so many parties.
Dave's doing keg stands.
Oh my God, that would be great.
That'd be awesome.
And Andrew, I'm sorry I missed you on.
I know, I was sad.
Andrew seriously considered coming in.
I did. Right. I was thinking, like, because I had the day off, but I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just come in at like
just to say hi to Dave.
Yeah,
yeah,
just
why
drop
not?
By.
Yeah.
I live kind of far away.
So the party question, is this the last cluster of 80 days, you know, 80 degree days? Because you mentioned that like 3 or 4 days in a row. Are we getting to like real October feel where it's not going to be that or not yet?
Because the October forecast was kind of a warm forecast.
Right.
So no, I don't, you know, 82 is pretty nice.
Oh, it's perfect.
But I would say no, we've got more of that on the way.
The rest of the crew here doesn't like the 80. I love 80. 80 is great. I can deal with that all day, every day, especially now when it's not humid like it is in the summertime.
Exactly.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, let's do some headlines, Rach.
All right, headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. I wish Dave Glover was here because I wanted to talk to him about Big Lots announcing more closures. I feel like for some reason Dave would be a Big Lots guy, and I have no idea why. I can't explain why, but I thought he would connect with this story. They're closing another 47 locations in 16 states that will close between now and January. That brings it to a total of 550 Big Lots stores expected to close, reducing the chain by about 40%.
Does it say if the Alton Big Lots is on there?
It does not list the Alton Big Lots, but it doesn't list any Big Lots.
Oh, so. You get a lot of furniture from the Alton Big Lots.
Yeah. We had one across the street from us when I was a kid, like not literally across our neighborhood street, but like across the main street there. And I remember as a kid, we were like, oh, let's go. And then every time going, oh, this isn't as fun as I thought as a kid. You know, when you're not, it's not as fun as you thought. Is that basically, is this like Amazon's whooping them? That kind of thing, because they are kind of a catch-all, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of what would, I mean, I'm sure Amazon, Andrew, help me out, because I know I don't know. I just feel like Big Lots is kind of like Target, but it just doesn't have the inventory. It's just kind of smaller.
Yeah, it's like a
discount
small,
Target almost.
Yeah. It's a very small, I would call it like a discount department store. They do have half decent furniture for very cheap. That's like I said, I've gotten a few things there.
Yeah, like other home goods.
Yeah, other home goods. I think they have a limited amount of food. I don't think they have a ton of food.
Oh, I've gotten candy at Big Lots before.
Very nice.
And I used to go there and buy DVD movies on the cheap.
Oh.
Back when people were still buying DVDs. You could get them for like $3 or $5. So that was nice. Pretty
It is so weird when you say like DVDs are such a thing of the past, right? Like, because you're right. It Blu-rays now and 4K Blu-rays and all that stuff. And even those are not nearly what they used to be because people just stream stuff.
Everybody, or just, you know, purchase it and let it live on their TV. I haven't bought a Blu-ray in 10 years. It's been a very long time.
That's something I'm still a little bit old school on.
Oh, you still buy the physical copy?
I like to own the hard copies of my favorite things.
That's smart because they can just get rid of those digital copies if they want.
People have been posting pictures from the hurricane-affected areas that don't have any internet or limited amounts of power or whatever. And, I mean, the DVD parts of those Walmarts have been completely cleared out. Like, all the little bins that have the discount DVDs and completely wiped out. Because people can't, they need something to do. They need something for their kids to do. They need something for them to do. And so, like, they can't stream stuff, so they had to go back to DVDs.
There you go.
That doesn't need internet.
I don't even know if I have a way of watching a DVD anymore.
I don't. Yeah, I know. That's
my Chromebook doesn't even have a CD-ROM. So.
I do not have a disk drive device of any kind.
Yeah, I just call it a CD-ROM. All right. Vance and Walls are going to meet tonight in the vice presidential debate. Who's going to be watching? It's on CBS. We're also airing it right here on KMOX if you're driving around and would like to listen that way. It's going to air for about roughly 90 minutes at the CBS Broadcast Center in New York City. I was just telling Wheels on the break, I will watch. I don't necessarily want to.
That's the way I feel too.
Yeah, but I kind of can't help myself. I have to see what's going to happen, so I will tune in. But it does feel like it's going to be a bummer, and I can't explain exactly why.
It really could get fiery because of what's going on in the Middle East today.
That's a good point,
Interesting.
Dave. I could see them going back and forth about that for sure.
This is the kind of, like, I want to know what the important parts are, but I don't want the nonsense.
Yeah.
Which is why I tend to consume it after the fact so I can get to the things that mattered and I can skip over the nonsense.
But you know the nonsense is still going to go viral.
I
You're
know.
Still going to see it.
And I'm still going to, right. But I don't have to sit there for an hour and a half or 2 hours and just kind of wait for it.
Yeah.
I can see it when it makes more sense, and then I can seek out the more meaningful stuff where it comes.
All right. California Governor Gavin Newsom has vetoed the AI safety bill. It would have been the nation's first sweeping AI safety legislation, setting strict regulations for the development of AI models. But Newsom said the bill was well-intentioned, but too restrictive. Despite this veto, similar bills are expected to go up for a vote in other states. So that's not the end of that. I just thought that was interesting that he would veto that.
I didn't follow it closely enough to know whether he did a good thing or not. But I think we need to be taking larger, faster action when it comes to AI and how AI is used, particularly in political advertising.
Absolutely. The problem is most of our politicians have no idea. I mean, remember when we were having those TikTok hearings and the ridiculous questions that were being asked and the lack of comprehension that was shown? It's like a lot of these folks have no idea what's going on in technology. So how are they going to write bills to combat it? So we're in kind of a bad situation. I try not to think about it too much. All right. Saltwater is making electric cars blow up. Motorists are being urged to either move their cars or report them to authorities if it's not safe to do so. In flooding during Hurricane Helene, they're turning into fire hazards. There's many reports of cars blowing up because the water is hitting their lithium ion batteries reacting, and it's not a good situation. So please be careful.
Did the engineers not think of this?
That's a great question.
We know about which chemicals interact with other chemicals, and we know what protections, like, we have all of these.
We know roads flood.
Yes!
Yeah. All over the country.
Stunning to me.
Jeep just had a massive recall on their electric Jeeps.
Oh, did they?
Really?
Yeah, because they catch fire.
Oh, for God's sake.
They just said, don't park. They said, park them outside. Don't park them next to another vehicle. And get it fixed.
Which were the exploding cars in the 70s? Was that the Gremlin? Oh,
no, but it was like that.
It was one of those
it the Corvair?
No. It had a name that you like when people say it, I'm going to Google exploding car in the 70s and we'll figure it out real quick. because like we went through this. We kind of understand. We understand science. We understand what, you know, when things. Oh, the Pinto. It was the Ford Pinto.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Because I always,
if you got into a rear end collision, that right, would explode.
Right. And I always thought good? It was funny that it was the same name as the Pinto beans. When I was a kid, I thought that was hilarious. I don't know why.
All right, guys, my final story today. Jimmy Carter is the first American president to live a full century. Happy birthday, Jimmy Carter. It is his birthday today. He is 100 years old.
That's
crazy. He has spent the last 19 months in home hospice care, and he's still hanging in there, and his family is very happy that he has made it to 100.
That's something, man. I can't even identify with the idea. I'm half 100. Can't even figure out what it would feel like to be 100.
And I also saw that like thousands of kids drew him birthday cards and mailed it to him.
Oh, that's
so that's pretty.
That is pretty historic,
sweet.
Though. I mean, I guess it makes sense because as we go, the former presidents will live longer and longer, like the rest of us. Because back in the day, you know,
they were dying at like
Well,
think of the stress.
Well, that's true.
That's
you're right.
Point.
They go through
in those 4 years or 8 years, they age a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it.
You got it.
All right, we got the think tank. I almost called it the round table.
Oh, but, isn't that what Mark calls his?
No, I just tweeted. Yes, he does. But I just tweeted the sports round table that we did with Bernie and Matt Pauly and me and Tom Ackerman. The four of us did one today. And I just literally pressed send on that when the music started. And I called it our round table, and that's why I said it. But no, we have our think tank coming up after the top of the hour. So we got Judge Frawley and Jeff Rainford in. Obviously, you know, touch on we should get into the vice presidential debate with guys and talk a bit about, you know, what they'd like to see and what they'd like to hear out of all of that. So, and we'll let them kind of direct some of it too, see if they have any special things they want to get into. Otherwise, maybe we can ask them what they thought of the Cardinals thing yesterday.
I'm sure they have opinions. It seems like everybody does.
They will definitely have opinions.
I would bet there aren't very many people in St. Louis or in the St. Louis area that don't have some opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are people. I know it's strange. When I found out that there are people that don't care about sports at all, I was like, what?
When did you find that out?
I don't know, like last week.
I was going to say, I think it was well into his 40s, if I had to guess.
Like, wait a second.
Now, but I mean, I knew there were people that weren't like passionate and weird about it like me.
Yeah.
And I'm kidding. I was in my 20s probably when I realized that.
20s?
That there are people that are just like have zero interest at all. Like, I'm trying to think of something that I have zero interest in. Like, I have zero interest in classical music. Like, none. I know nothing about it. I couldn't tell you a Mozart from a Bart Simpson. I really don't.
Like, don't care.
Yeah, I don't know it. I don't follow it. I don't care. And I know that there are people that feel that way about sports. It's just weird. Because I've
weird
lived
when
in
it's
the bubble.
Your whole life, yeah.
It's because I've lived in that bubble.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty big bubble. Because it's on TV all the time.
Yeah, it's like a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah.
So
again, no judgment. Just saying, I was a grown person when I realized that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.